Hey, welcome to The Door to the Supernatural. We've been talking about not only the gifts of the Spirit, but some of the things that are underlining to enable you to move into the operation of the gifts of the Spirit. Realize that every Spirit-filled believer has an evidential tongue. And that evidential tongue is a constant reminder and edification, a builder up, an encourager that there are eight other gifts on the inside of every believer. The Holy Ghost doesn't just come in, you stick his hand in your body. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. He comes in and he dwells in them. And he is in us as full and as complete as he was in Christ Jesus. So we're going to be talking about some things today that I believe that will really help you. But before we do, again, we want to start the program out with verifying that miracles still happen today. Here are two miracles that take place in Sofia, in Bulgaria.
For 6 years, she's had this issue.
So she's totally, she's
both ears.
Both ears?
Yes.
Okay. I command all this pain right now in this lower back. I command all this pain to come out right now. Loose her and let her go. Now I command this deaf devil in this left ear. I command you in Jesus' name to come out right now. Be opened in the name of Jesus. Now I command this deaf devil in this right ear. I command you in Jesus' name to come out in the name of Jesus. Be opened right now. Jesus. Huh?
Да, да.
Чуваш?
Чувам.
Да. Чувам.
Come on, this woman with deaf in both ears.
Чуваш?
Слабо сега.
Still, I need in the left ear. Yeah.
Okay, all right. In the name of Jesus, you deaf devil right now, come out. In Jesus' name, be opened right now. I loose a miracle, oh God, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Okay. This woman was deaf in both ears. Now God has opened up her deaf ear. Come on, somebody, shout hallelujah. 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 I think so too. Oh yeah, look at this. In the name of Jesus, I loose a miracle right now, God, in this hip area. In the name of Jesus, I command you to loose him, let him go. Devil, loose it right now. I loose this miracle in the name of Jesus. All the way right now, all the way in the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus, I loose that miracle. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus, did you see these knees wrong? Look at this. His kneecaps have come down.
You mean now? Or?
They have, look.
Okay.
Before they were up. Are they straight across?
I think. Yeah.
Stand up here. Let's see what we have. How about the pain? Well, we're taking it all the way in the name of Jesus. All this pain, come out in Jesus' name. Oh God, I loose you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now check it out. Come on, check it out.
You're
Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, miracles are still for today, no matter what skeptics say, no matter what the unbelieving or the unlearned say, or even the unbeliever. But let me tell you something. Miracles are not just for special people. They are for every believer. Jesus said these signs will follow them that believe. And these signs in his name are really born out of the Spirit. Rob, the Bible says in Mark, the 16th chapter, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Amen. So we understand that new tongues, the authority of the believer,
yeah,
does deal with devils. But after new tongues, then there is a list to lay hands on the sick and so forth. And those are the gifts of the Spirit that go in operation.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit today from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we're going to look at, starting in verse 4, and it says, now are there diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. Well, then let's add the next one. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, here we have, Rob, diversities of gifts. So not every gift is the same.
Yeah.
There are nine gifts. And so we have to understand that. The Holy Ghost, why does he use different gifts in different situations?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we think, okay, God, you know, the word of knowledge. If, you know, you call this woman out and tell her what's wrong, faith will rise up. And but then God gives you a different direction, and it's like different or diversities of gifts.
Yeah.
What is your take on that?
Well, the Holy Spirit knows what people need at that particular moment. So, like, even when we gather as a church, there's people that need healing, they need words. I was thinking of, I was reading this morning, Jesus at the well with the woman, the Samaritan.
Right,
woman. He gave her a word, and that's what she needed. And
yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, you know, spoke a word of wisdom, word of knowledge. She perceived him to be a prophet, and everyone listened because of that. So,
And I agree that when there are diversities of gifts, she said, everything that I ever done in life, he told me about, which was not. But when God chooses a word like that, it does unveil or establish a dimension of God, too. And one of the things, the gifts of Spirit, we're going to try to talk about today or in a Thursday's program is the gifts of the Spirit unveiling the nature of God to mankind.
Yeah, that's good.
But when there are diversities like this, Rob, you're absolutely right. Because, you know, people will speak in an unknown tongue, then there is an interpretation. Or there would be a prophetic utterance and the interpretation of tongues and interpretation then is same as a gift of prophecy. It edifies, comforts, and exhorts. So there are diversities of gifts, but you hit it on the head.
Yeah.
God knows what people are expecting and where their faith is strong or the what it takes to unlock, make it alive, release it, whatever it is, and whatever terminology we would give it. But when we have diversities of gifts, God knows these people. And so he's dealing with them based on their level of faith, their expectancy, how he knows them, and, you know, what's going to ignite or to release the gift or faith in their life to receive that gift.
Yeah.
And then it says that there are diversities of operations.
Yeah.
What's your take on that?
Diversity of operations. Well, I think in, as far as how the Spirit is moving in the gifts.
Yeah.
But the how it would operate is not the same for every individual.
Right.
Like it'll be different in me as it would be in you. And God works with that personality. the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge may sound different coming from me.
Right.
That's one thought. you know, the God's operating differently.
Right. Operations differently. Yeah. Some people lay hands on people after they pray. Some people would declare something over a service. Some people would be individual ministry. But whichever one it is the operation. And I think connected or coupled with that is the way that God delivers
yes.
a word to us.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people would say, I just saw in a vision, or, you know, I seen something.
Yeah.
And God will give them a thought, and it turns into a picture.
Yeah.
And sure enough, that's just what it is.
That's true.
And sometimes people miss that because we think of a vision as a long, drawn-out, you know, cartoon. But really, it's not. It can just be one glimpse. It can be one figure, and it can be as fast as the twinkling of an eye.
Yeah, that's how I usually see it. I'll get a picture, not necessarily words as much as it is a picture.
Just as a glimpse.
Yeah.
Bang. And the reason God uses different operations is because these gifts are functioning out of the gift of faith, but it takes our faith to reach out and activate that gift, or to touch in the area of the gift of faith to activate that gift. So when God changes things up for us, he's trying to get us out of familiarity.
Yeah.
He wants us to keep moving in the areas of faith. And so one word of knowledge may come like in a vision. Cornelius had a word of knowledge, and he had it in a vision, and he went to Peter. And then when Peter came down, the Holy Ghost spoke to Peter. So whether it was, it didn't say it in an audible voice, so we'd probably have to, you know, probably determine that he just had a thought.
Yeah.
Because thoughts are words.
Yeah.
They're just words that have to be acted on, or words that have not been written.
Yeah.
And so Peter had a thought. Go with these men doubting nothing.
Yeah.
So here you have a word of knowledge, men seek you, and then you have a word of knowledge, send somebody there. Yeah. One comes through a vision, another comes from what we would say the Holy Ghost said to me.
Yeah.
So it would be a thought, and realize the Holy Ghost does speak to us in thoughts. Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Ghost, whom God will send, the Father will send in my name, when he comes, he will bring things back to your remembrance.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that the Holy Ghost speaks to us is by thought. And as we grow, Rob, we begin to discern those thoughts, whether they're of God, and we begin to divide asunder that which is soul and that which is spirit, that which is flesh, that which is God.
Yeah.
And so it comes by, well, what if I make a mistake? Well, instruction is a way of life. You just get back up and do it again.
Yeah.
Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit. Now, if you keep missing it a million miles and prophesying somebody's going to be president and they don't even make it to be a deacon in the church 10 years later, there might be something wrong. But be sincere.
Yeah.
But don't let mistakes or misses cancel out your growth and your pursuit of God. Sometimes I have people say, oh, I'm sorry, that's not me. I say, don't be sorry. I'm a big boy. A little bigger than I should be. But look, you know what? It's a way of life.
Yeah.
So I missed it.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect, but I'm not standing in the office of the prophet either, so I don't get to be stoned. but then there is, so here we have a thought that comes to somebody, and we have a vision, and then we have dreams.
Yeah.
In Job 33, verse 14 on down says, I speak once, twice, and but since you don't hear me, the busyness of life, you know, life is like, what is life? It's like a spaghetti dinner going bad. What is life? It's like soup boiling over. Life is uncontrollable, and at any moment is going to mess up everything that you have set in order. What is life? Kids waking up in the morning. That's what life is. Chaos confined. That's what life is. So if you take me to the dictionary, I could write a whole dictionary on the meanings of life. But we get busy in life. And so God speaks to us. And dreams are one of the ways of the diverse operations.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never had, but I've had people tell me that, you know, if they, well, Oral Roberts said that, you know, when he was dealing with a demon in the area of sickness, his right hand would begin to shake or tremble. So that would be like a discerning of spirits, but it would be different. So do we condemn people that have this or not this? Sometimes I've seen people say, oh, man, you know, I just had a pain in my back. There's somebody here that has a pain. And then they might go in and get more precise, and lo and behold, bang, this is exactly what a person had. So however God uses people, we don't want to criticize them. Now, if they begin to take it and become eccentric with it, drawing attention to an individual or, you know, manipulating people or something like that, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful that you don't declare everything wrong just because you don't understand it. You don't want, when you're operating in the gifts, one of the things you want to do is make sure that you don't allow the gifts of God, your knowledge of them, or being used by them, become a higher judging stick than the scripture.
Yeah.
We always, you know, I've known people that, well, you know, God's still doing miracles to me. But Jesus said to those in Matthew 7th chapter, Lord, haven't we cast out devils in your name, prophesied in your name, done miracles in your name? Amen. Jesus just said, look, depart from me. I never knew you. In other words, the reflection that we used to have, the communion we walked, you know what? It's as if it's never happened.
Yeah.
But they were still doing miracles. So we can't use the gifts or the knowledge of the gifts to judge how God's doing something in somebody else's life. And we cannot use just what the results that we're getting to make us think that we are right with God when we're doing things wrong.
Yeah.
The scriptures must be adhered to above all, Rob.
Yes, absolutely.
You cannot use, but God's using me and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No, no. If the Bible says it's sin, it's sin.
Yes.
Do not misread the long suffering of God for a condolence or for an agreement that what you're doing is right or acceptance. We have to look at the scriptures, Rob.
Yeah.
And and we don't want to judge people. One of the quickest things that's going to shut down any activity in your life is you speaking against another man or another woman of God, whether they're just got saved or whether they've been saved 50 years. Listen to me. Yeah. I'm telling you, your mouth will stop God from opening up the activity of the gifts of the Spirit in your life. Number two, you do not want to express opinions, give comments, or anything like that just because you have one. You need to be quiet. Just stop it. Because you can bless people and you can curse people. And if you curse people, then understand what you sow is what you're going to reap.
Yeah.
And God will reward the righteous and the unrighteous. God will not allow you to go around attacking people, degrading people, speaking down to people, and all that kind of stuff. Another thing that will stop the working of the gifts of the Spirit in your life is inducing uncleanness or wickedness before your eyes. That simply means you need to watch what you're watching on TV, and you need to give heed to what you're hearing from TV. And so the atmosphere, I have had angels, Rob, come into a room, at a room because I was watching a shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movie. Not that they were cussing or anything, but it was just, I like watching bang 'em up, shoot 'em up movies.
Yeah.
But you never know when an angel is going to come. You know, when they're around your life, they just walk right in your house. I mean, they just, And so, I'm sitting there watching, and all this angel comes to the doorway, and he just looks at me, and he just turns around. I thought, uh-oh, what was that?
Yeah.
So you have to be careful to what you're creating.
Yeah.
And it can be in one room and not be in every room of your house. And so we want to make sure that we keep ourselves from wickedness, watching things that are questionable, soft porn of people, you know, like making love or whatever you want to call it on TV, having sex under the cover, you don't see anything, but you know what they're doing.
Yeah.
That is not, that's wickedness. That's wickedness. And behind that appeasement of what's going on TV is the desire to see something.
Yeah. Right.
And so just be honest with yourself. Just kill it.
Yeah.
Cut it at the roots. You say, well, what am I supposed to watch? Well, you know, there are things you can get on TV. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with watching wholesome movies and things like that that just doesn't have that stuff in it.
Absolutely.
Listen, TV is not going to fill the void of you needing or bring peace or relaxation. It's just not going to do it. No. And God is going to do that.
Yeah.
And another thing you can do is buy a whole set of I Love Lucy's and watch them until that's the only thing you think they ever made.
Yeah.
And but we have to be careful with those
Absolutely.
Things. Now, I said that because those things affect your mind. Those
yeah.
things activate your mouth. Those things, and what is your mind, your ears, your eyes, and your mouth?
Yeah.
What is it? Those are three receptors of your faith that lead right to your spirit. Is
yeah.
thought, is hearing and seeing, and fourth is one of the executing
yeah.
Great doorways of faith.
Absolutely.
And you start attaining those things,
yeah.
then faith has to try to navigate through all these little rocks that
yeah.
you're putting out there.
You know, Pastor, the Bible says that righteous Lot was vexed by the things he seen and the things he heard.
There you go.
And just by his surroundings.
Vexed would mean
yeah.
not just tormented, aggravated,
no.
but pressed down.
Pressed down, yeah.
His joy is being confined, his
yeah.
expectation, his looking for God, his excitement of life, his expectancy of life is all being oppressed by what he's seeing and hearing going on around him.
I think too often we entertain ourselves with the very things that crucified Jesus.
Absolutely,
the sins that crucified our Savior, we watch and are entertained by.
And you know, the Bible speaks in Galatians 5:19 about the works of the flesh, but then it says, and all like things. In other words, anything that's connected to these things, like
yeah.
fornication, if it's happening on TV and it's connected, even if it's under the covers, it's connected to
yeah.
it, like such things.
Wow.
Like such things.
Yeah. That's good.
Yesterday, I was watching a movie. A young father had his son stolen like 3 years prior to that, and he was looking for him, and it was all in Chinese, and I was reading subtitles. Phyllis said, why do you watch that? I said, I don't know.
But,
you know, at least it wasn't. People sleep with people and all that kind of stuff. But we have to watch when you're operating in the gift. Listen, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the prefaces of the adjectives that describe him,
yeah.
Holy, Holy Spirit, means just that.
Yeah.
That there has to be holy situations that lie before us.
Yeah.
So those are the diversities of operations. And then it says that it's given to every man to profit with all. And we kind of touched on this last time, Rob, but about using the gifts of the Spirit in our everyday life. Not just out winning people to Jesus, not just out, you know, on the streets, not just when we're preaching and ending a service, but these are given to us that we can use these gifts in our household.
Yes.
In our household.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us that there are multiples of spirits in the world. There is a spirit that is a hasty spirit. There is a gentle spirit, you know, the spirit of the diligent. There is an offended spirit.
Yeah.
And so there are different types of spirits, and your children and our spouses have different spirits on the inside of them.
Yeah.
And God is not opposed to a hasty spirit unless it rules the man.
Yeah.
But when we start discerning the type of spirit that our spouses or our children are, then what we do is we can have a word in due season. We can correct the right way. We can do something. We can use the wisdom, the counsel, the giftings that God has given us, and we can hone the edge of another piece of iron. But if we don't, Rob, it's kind of like trying to take a forest fire and grill hamburgers on it. It's
yeah.
totally out of control.
Yeah, not gonna
but
work.
If you understand, like a child has a strong spirit. Well, you know what? Then you're going to understand real fast. You aren't just going to say, here, you're going to wear this. Absolutely not. But if you say, okay, honey, here's three choices. Which one of these you want to wear today?
Yeah.
I'll take that one. Okay, good deal. And you won't have to beat the fire out of him trying to get him to do something that he just does not. He is independent. He's got a strong spirit. So we nurture those gifts instead of break them in their life.
So would you say the best way to nurture them then is to learn how to operate in the gifts of the spirit in the home? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge.
The first is, you know, discerning of spirits.
Yes, discerning
what kind of spirit does it have? You know, and people that come in to the household, you know, your husband comes in. Did he just have a bad day? Is he just tired? Or you know, is there a spiritual conflict going on? Yeah. These things are things that we have to know and that we need to be able to discern about that. You know, sometimes when people come in, you know, we have been in conflict. Rob, I mean, workplace conflict.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when they come in, we want to make sure that we are reading this. And if there is a spirit that has attached itself, I want to know the spirit of the kids that my children are running around with.
Yeah.
Or a wife or spouse. What if there is a seductive spirit on a woman and, you know, you and your wife and her are friends? Well, pretty soon, you're going to have more things around your wife than you ever thought should be around your wife.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean that everybody, oh, man, we got to do it. No, we don't have to do that.
Yeah.
It's not critical, and it's not judgmental. We have to be open to the gifts, but let them activate so that God will help us profit, and we don't push profitedness or profitableness into our lives.
Yeah. You know, Pastor, In what you're saying, that the doorway to the supernatural first is in our home.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
We lead our families and our that's our first congregation, our first church, or whatever, and operate in the gifts there, and learn how to do well. And with the idea of entertainment coming in, you said after the show last week about praying out your house, because I think that would go with, you know, these spirits that are attached. They also not just come from outside influence, but the TV. And like you said, the angel turned around and went away. Mm-hmm. What would you say to guard your home? And what were the three or four things you said last week?
The first thing that every Christian, I have talked to Christians for, I've been pastoring for 36 years by the grace of God, and I'm so appreciative that God has helped me. But one thing, and I've moved several times since I've been in the pastorate, but I've noticed that when other people move, they will come in my office and they'll say, man, Pastor, you know, we just feel like we have no direction. We're lost. Man, we just can't. And then the first thing I ask them, when you were in your other house, did you have a place of prayer? Yes. When you went to your new house, did you establish a new altar in your house? And most, without question, most of them say, no, they don't even know about it.
Yeah.
But every time Israel moved, every time they set up camp, every time they put up their tent, every time they made a new home, guess what they did? They set up an altar.
Yeah.
And so they had access. They set up an altar. So they had activity of the priesthood, of the high priest, of hearing from God, the direction of God. Then came the fire. Then came the cloud. All of these things came because the first priority was set up the altar where we're dwelling.
Amen.
So. And so we have to make sure that our homes have an altar. You have to have a place where you're meeting with God. And it might take you a week. It might take you 2 weeks to find it. But wherever it is, then that's where you meet with God every day. Remember, God would come into Adam and he said, hey, Adam, where art thou? Well, Adam was hiding.
Yeah.
But the thought line and the directive is that God meets people at designated places.
Yeah.
When Jacob established the house of Bethel, this is the house of God. That's where he went back to.
Yeah.
That's where he established a place of contact with God, a place of covenant, made a vow, you take care of me, I will give you a tithe. Mm. And so that's where he was headed. I need to get to Bethel.
Yeah.
And so that was the push to get his family there, to pray for favor with his brother that he had wronged and all that. And of course, when Esau saw him, it had already been mended, but that was the hand of God.
Yeah.
But that's important. The second thing that I think that every household should do, and you know, I know that we do it in when people are in bed and things like that, but my mother and father-in-law, even though I was a sinner, every night They would go to bed, buddy, before they went to bed, they'd say, okay, we're going to pray. And everybody, I don't care if you were drunk, I don't care if you were smoking a cigarette, I don't care where you were, when it come time to pray, you're going to pray. I mean, they wanted me to pray. I'm thinking, I don't want to pray. You know, what do I know? I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And little did they know that God hears not sinners, but any man that worshipeth him.
Yeah.
But they still wanted me on that. Oh, buddy, they would drag you down on the floor, and they would begin to cry and cry, oh, God, save their souls. If they aren't saved, God, bring our kids. And you know, like, you're the only one in the room. Who are you praying about? Me.
Yeah.
And but it was given years later, a testimony of some neighbors that lived across the railroad track.
Wow.
We're talking like three or four railroad tracks and a portion of a field, and they lived in a house over there. They said every night we would hear that family, and they would start praying.
Wow.
And listen, they didn't just pray, oh, Jesus, come. I mean, they're like, oh, God, save the world. And but this family, they were Nazarenes. And they would hear them Pentecostals praying over there every night. We knew they were getting ready to go to bed because they were praying.
Yeah.
So I think that it's important that, and I know that life is busy. Look, I understand that. But you know what? It can't be so busy that we don't have time for God. Yeah. We're not going to have time for God, then let's do away with dessert after supper.
Yeah.
Let's do away with something and just take 5 or 10 minutes to get down on your knees. Actually get on your knees and establish a fact so that when your children go away, they get in bed, they say, man, there's something wrong. What did I forget? Oh, man, I better get out and pray.
Yeah.
And then I think that it's always important, Rob, that if they can, they have music playing in their house. You know, here at the church, we have it at every entrance. We have music playing.
Yeah.
And we have pastors come and people come. They say, boy, that's a good idea.
It's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't you fill your church with music? And the outside of it. But I think music or scriptures, and I think that it's always important that after you guys eat and stuff like that, make it a point that, hey, we're reading through the book of Matthew or John or whatever. Yeah. We're going to do 2 chapters a night. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk, what do you think that means? And so forth. So one of the things I do with the grandkids, they'll tell me a scripture. I say, what do you think that means?
Yeah.
Now let's go up 2 other scriptures and have you ever thought of this? Thought of that? No? Hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that those 3 things are major to me. And I think that the 4th thing I would do, Rob, I always think that kids, families ought to be involved together in tithing and their sowing and getting their needs, reaping. And when it comes in, the parents need to say, hey, look what happened. We got this money.
Yeah.
You know what? This is from our seed. And anytime you have needs or need miracles, you bring your family together. We have like a status quo.
Yeah.
Is that somebody gets sick or they're going to fight something, have to make a decision. Guess what? Families come together. They're going to fast 3 days. They're going to fast whether 1 day, 1 meal a day. They're going to do something.
Yeah.
At the end of 3 days, we're coming back together. And whatever that individual feels, then we are all joining it. And we're not going to push, well, I think you should do this. No, no. We have been a part of that, and so we're going to join it. So always make things a tradition, if you want to call them.
Yeah.
Not all traditions are not bad.
No.
Paul said, you know, keep the traditions, remember the traditions that were delivered unto you.
Yeah.
So not all traditions are bad, but I think the altar, I think the prayer, I think music and reading of the scriptures, things of that nature help establish a godly attitude. Yeah. And once you start it, your kids will remember it.
Yeah.
And you go to bed, and they'll say, we can't go to bed. We got to pray. Yeah. Don't argue with them. Just get everybody up and say, everybody get back in the living room. Let's get this over with so we can go to bed. All right. So, hey, next week or Thursday, we're going to be taking up the 9 gifts of the Spirit, unveiling the 9 revelations of who God is to the world, to the believer, through the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, you know this, that you are anointed of God, chosen of God, appointed of God. God believes in you. God has invested in you. And you have been born at this strategic time to demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you Thursday. Bye-bye.